Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our fourth episode for the episode An Innocent Man. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Michael Cohen, and with me...
I'm Amanda Konkin. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. So we're four episodes in, and we keep getting more and more feedback from you guys, and there's more people on Facebook, and... more downloads, and it's crazy, and everybody's loving the show, both Arrow and Quiver, so...
Thank you for that. It's awesome.
Huge, huge thank you to everybody who's listening. So let's start off the episode with an email from Adam Trembath. He says, "Hi, guys. First off, love the podcast. I always like to find a single podcast to go with new shows I watch. After going through a few with bad audio and boring hosts, I decided here's where I will learn more about Arrow." Oh. So thanks for opening with that. You'll always get us with
some a little bit of butter flattery. Us up a little
yeah.
bit. It's good.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any other Green Arrow podcasts.
Oh
yet.
Man, you're still behind. I have all this free time, and in it, I'm watching. Plethora of green. No, I'm not.
I should
though. I'm interested to see what other people are saying about it. So,
although I'm sure that there are other ones out there, mm-hmm. and you know, it doesn't need to be mutually exclusive. You can listen to other podcasts as well because opinions are opinions, right? Everybody's gonna. Yeah.
But you'll be our favorite if you listen to just us because we're awesome. Or we could do like I don't know. It's all good. We like talk to other people on podcasts. Have like a podcast showdown with other people. Talk about Quiver. I'm excited to see what's out there. The internet is an amazing place with people talking about stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
But thank you for choosing us. So,
It's good. It's nice to hear I think the point of that bit right there, he's got more in the email, but the point of that bit right there is that, in Adam's opinion, we're the best ones out there. So, that makes me happy to know that, like, our audio quality is good, that people are enjoying the show. So, yeah, and you know, you guys, feel free to email in some complaints.
Yeah.
I said that when I started Frontlines, we went for, like, the first year or so with no complaints.
Ooh.
And all I ever got were emails saying, "Oh, I love the show, it's really great, you do a great job." And I asked for hate mail. So,
oh, man.
One of the guys who actually now works on the podcast with me, who has his own podcast starting up, Kyle, he was the first one to ever send me hate mail. It was because I requested hate mail.
Well, it's good. So, but I feel like you just got to be ready for a fight because, you know, you can dish it out. You also have to be able to take it. We'll have a good conversation. I like having heated conversations. They're, like, I think the best. They're fun.
Cool.
Let's continue with this email.
Yeah, so Adam goes on to say, "I just came up with an interesting idea you could maybe do when the show goes into hiatus. You should review the Smallville episode Arrow and talk about the differences in the Emerald Archer's two incarnations. For example, I preferred the shades he wore to the black face paint. Just an idea, and keep up the great work. Peace out from Adam Trembath." So... I like that idea as well during the hiatus because we'll get a couple weeks where there's no new episodes and you know we might decide to just take some time off. But if we feel the need to podcast, that's a really good idea. Or at least like I'm thinking the hiatus between you know the fall and
yeah, the
and the
mid-season
yeah
break.
And the winter break.
We'll definitely do something in there. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Other ideas would be great. What else do you guys want to hear from us when we're not talking just about Arrow? We're really interested to continue this conversation. He's in all sorts of mediums, so it'd be good to go just beyond this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So thanks again. That's awesome to hear. And before we dive in, I forgot last week we didn't talk about it, but I just want to talk about how awesome Stephen Amell is. He live tweeted the Western feed of Arrow last week, and I'm just, he's so great with his fans.
I meant to, because we were recording while he was live tweeting, to be on my phone. But the thing is that we record using my phone,
so
I couldn't be tweeting back at him like I wanted to.
But. You know what's so cute? And he's just so, it's so funny because it's obviously clear that he hasn't really done genre television before. Because he's all like, "Oh, I was really excited to live tweet." And then afterwards I read one of them, he's like, "Well, 5,000 tweets, I couldn't get to all of them, but it's like, well, obviously people are interested in this and you're doing such a great thing." And I think he's just really overwhelmed and really trying to connect it with the audience, and I'm really excited to see that.
No, he's doing a really great job of it, because earlier today, actually, I think, he tweeted a picture. He was at the DC Entertainment their offices. Oh, and it's a picture of him in like standing facing a Christian Bale Batman statue of like I think the movie like the set like the prop costume. And he's got a tweet about it where he's like he's talking to Batman, and I think he's really embracing the fan community and all of the great stuff that comes along with being a DC Comics character. So, just to contrast that with, as we always go back to Smallville, to contrast that with Tom Welling. Tom Welling's a very private, personal guy. Yeah. I don't know that he even has a Twitter account.
Michael Rosenbaum does,
and he's awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
that we're saying Tom Welling isn't awesome because he doesn't have Twitter,
he is. But it's very different, right? It's very different. I think for Tom, and it's different because he's like Green Arrow is one character, and he's awesome, and we love him, and we love the show so far, and everything's mm-hmm. been great. But Green Arrow is not Superman.
Yeah.
And when you're playing Superman, I think you're under much more scrutiny and, mm-hmm. and you have to be that much more cautious about whose opinions you're listening to and how you're filtering that stuff. So, and then I think Tom Welling is just a more private person. Mm-hmm. He's not one of those stars that you hear about that he was here, there, or wherever right? And now he's moved into more of like a producer role with a lot of stuff.
Which is great. He definitely knew how to use Smallville to like be an integral member of sort of the film community.
But I like that you brought up Michael Rosenbaum, because I feel like Stephen Amell is much more in that vein, mm-hmm. where he's a lot more outgoing mm-hmm. and sort of wanting to open a dialogue with the fan base and know, like, do you guys like it? What don't you like? The same sort of thing, like, we were just saying, like, what we want is you guys dialogue. To communicate to us. So it's good. And the best part of it is that it leaves that little bit of hope, a little bit more hope than normal that being in Vancouver, that we might be able to connect with him and talk to him and get some interviews for you guys and bring you guys some awesome news. So
cyberspace. Yes, you should tweet him and be like, hey, Stephen Amell, there's these people in Vancouver. They're just down the road from you.
Yeah.
You should talk to him.
Because there's room right next to me on my right here on the couch for Stephen to come in and hang out and watch an episode of Arrow with us. We would be more than happy to have him. I'll make some extra dinner for him.
Yeah.
And we'll,
it's good.
We'll enjoy ourselves. So I guess that's what we're getting to. It's an open invitation. So if you guys tweet at him or leave him messages on Facebook and he listens to this episode at some point, it's an open invitation to come over to my house.
You know who else needs to come on?
Everybody.
But I'd really like Detective Lance to come here. I think we could have a conversation.
Yeah, Paul Blackthorne. Yeah,
we could do some scoffs at each other. Yeah. We could just have a scoff off.
I don't know if it would make for very good podcasting necessarily, but yeah, okay. Maybe that'll be a video episode. To do a video
scoff
for
off.
Yeah, a scoff off.
All right. Well, cool. Sorry for that tangential sort
so, of. So yeah, all of that. Let's get into this week's episode, An Innocent Man,
which also has some more genre. I really like this idea of really playing the genre crowd with John Barrowman.
Yes, John Barrowman.
It's exciting. It's a good episode. It's a decent episode, I would say.
We're hearing mixed opinions. Well, we're not hearing mixed opinions.
We are the mixed opinion.
Yeah, everybody else, it seems, really enjoyed this episode. Amanda and I...
Not everybody. There's a few corners are saying that it's really finding its own. And we're kind of... I'm confused by the pace of this episode.
I feel like it dropped off a little bit from last week's episode. Last week's episode just had such a great pace, mm-hmm. was so well put together. And then this episode... I think it felt rushed. I think that's what it was, is that there was a lot the main plot felt like B story, and then the B story felt much more integral, which is the stuff that we're seeing right here at the beginning of the episode with Oliver revealing himself to Diggle. So
which didn't even wind up being like a main part. He basically had three sort of like sort of punctuated the episodes. Yeah. Plus, then you had the island stuff, which actually this episode we were really interested in hoping that they would do a lot more with that. But instead, they're really playing on these dichotomies of whatever the title is of the episode, right? Yeah. You've got an innocent man, or last week a lone gunman. And then they really have these two plot lines where you've got the one that's really obvious. So we're talking about an innocent man. Obviously, there's someone that's been convicted of a crime and he's actually innocent. But then you've also got this idea of Ollie on the island having to do his first kill of this bird, right? Yeah. So they really are playing on this, but to a point where sometimes I feel it's sort of forced in a way that we're like really supposed to focus on this storyline about this guy and don't necessarily care as much. And then this Diggle thing is really interesting, and I was really thrown off by this. They have this exchange in the beginning and fight a little bit because Diggle clearly feels like beating up the Green Arrow after just being shot, which makes a lot of sense to me. Also, I'm upset that he's so surprised. I want to know what he actually thought was going on. Yeah. I find it odd that he's so surprised. Again, when we're talking about consistency of character, and I'll come back to this all the time, there was a few hints in the first couple episodes that he's like got a sense for who Ollie was and kind of respected him. And I just feel like it can't be that far off that...
Yeah. I think what they were trying to go for was that his initial reaction is somewhat shocked, and he just falls back on that soldier training. And when you get to the end of the episode and his sort of his monologue at the end when he's talking to Oliver, I think that's why we see it this way, is that Diggle is going to be the character that keeps him from going too far.
Yeah.
Because right now, Oliver, and we see it in this episode with all the stuff on the island, he's lost a little bit of his humanity, I think. I think he's in some ways, in the way that he's referring to himself as Arrow, he says he needs to become someone else, and then he says something else, right? So he's kind of putting himself above everybody else which... You want to talk about consistency of character. That's very, very Oliver Queen. Like, that's very in keeping with who he is in the comics. Yeah. So I like that aspect of it. I think putting the main, like, the drive of the episode being behind this innocent guy that he's trying to clear, I think that was a misstep. This should have been an episode to focus on characters,
rather than
having another one of these legal dramas.
Yeah, which really was sort of superfluous. It really wasn't the thing that I cared about at all.
No, it's not what we wanted to see.
And I'm so, they're being really subtle about the Ollie stuff, where really, I just like an investigation of his, like, they're using it as a foil, but not enough. Like, I almost lost the line when you're talking about humanity. Yeah. I'm pretty sure near the end of the episode, Laurel actually says there was nothing human in his eyes, right? Like, that he lost his humanity. So this idea of like the innocent man that was lost is Oliver Queen, because who he is now, he keeps saying that who he is now is not who he was before. So I think we're really trying to find out, well, what happened to this other Oliver, which is really interesting because as we get further into the episode, we find out about Tempest and all these other things that have a lot to do with why he changed, and that we're going to find out a little bit more. So this bigger culprit that actually is responsible for this, I think, is something that we're going to be revealed in the next couple episodes, right? Like, really how this came about.
So we've just kind of talked over this whole scene where Laurel shows up at the Queen Mansion to make sure that Oliver's okay. She's really concerned about him because we've just come off of last week's episode with the shooting, and he disappeared, and nobody knew where he was, and everybody's super panicked about it, and it didn't even occur to him that everybody would be worried.
And he's really upset because she just called him out on stuff, and Diggle just called him out on stuff on being really selfish, and he thinks that what he's doing is... Anyway, so he says that with his sister, right? That he's talking about being called out by people that he cares about and not knowing who he is or if this is a right thing that he's doing. And I really liked all of the island stuff this week. It was probably the least amount that we've ever done in terms of, like, what happens. It's just a really simple plot, but I really think they did it really well. And I think that I'm really liking this Ollie. And this episode, I would say, of any of them, really established for us pre-Island Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really get to know what his character was like, and that it really sort of scares him. Like, this moment where he's in bed and dreaming about this, he wasn't really thinking about anything particularly frightening on the island. It was really just, like, a loss of innocence that he's talking about in his own previous past and who he used to be.
Yeah.
So it's good. And he's got a nice moment here on the couch with his sister, And then you get the introduction of Declan, I think his name is, the guy that killed
Peter
his wife.
Declan.
And it's very kind of heavy handed with all of this.
It seems like every other one of these cases that he goes on is coming out via the news, right?
Well,
like, it's all sort of topical for him.
And something that kind of bothered me about this, maybe this is what bothered me about the Innocent Man storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They had him on death row in 48 hours.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really bothered me is that, like, first of all, like, the legal stuff aside and the bureaucracy that has to go through from, like, clearing someone in that, why did the stakes have to be so high if we know near the end of the episode that... like, they're going to figure something out in this storyline, and if this is a CW show and it's going in the direction of most CW shows, he's not going to get the death penalty at the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they think that by making the stakes at a million that
it
makes us care about him anymore.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't. She can still go through the effort to find out, right, like, what if he's on trial? Or, like, right, I'm just, it's again, it's one of these story things where I think that the audience, they're really trying to be like, no, care about this really hard, and we're going to write it in so that you care about it, and you can't do that. You can't force your audience to connect to something, right? Anyways.
Yeah, we get, this guy's good, the new bodyguard, Diggle's replacement. So, because Oliver has told Diggle all about being Green Arrow, and Diggle's not exactly taking it very well.
We don't even know what happened. Diggle was just kind of like, I don't agree with this. And I was like, well, wouldn't Ollie, like, do something?
Yeah.
Be like, I'm going to threaten you, or I'm going to watch you constantly.
Yeah, he just lets him go.
I don't know. I guess, whatever, if it's foreshadowing this idea that he actually believes in Diggle and knows that Diggle won't tell on him, is one thing, but we also didn't establish that either.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get this guy who is a bit, I don't know, I guess a bit dorky, almost.
Yes, that's a great word.
Like,
that would be exactly what I would say.
He's just kind of a goof, and Oliver sees right through him immediately.
Yeah.
And starts going, like, well, this guy's going to be, like, Diggle was a challenge.
Yeah.
This guy's
going to
be
like that
easy.
He's like, I like this guy.
Yeah, yeah. he just turns to his mom and says, I like him.
I'm dying a bit. I'm sorry. My apologies. Whew. Maybe we can just, like, unrecord me coughing in the middle of this podcast.
It's okay.
It's good. I was overwrought with emotion from this exchange between the bodyguard and Ollie, obviously.
Yeah,
There's so much happening.
This is such a difficult scene to get through.
It's the most with Ollie's close-ups. I feel like in terms of the actor, they're really letting Steven really take over and do a lot. In this episode, more so than others, they held, like, long shots on him, which I don't know if that's, like, a choice or anything.
He just gives him the wave as he drives by on his motorcycle.
It's
and the
brilliant.
Guy's like,
it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a... the humor in this episode is probably some of the best humor that they've had.
Because it wasn't trying really hard.
Yeah.
Except when we get later to the IT girl, and we'll let that go for now. But no, it was... Steven's humor is really good.
Yes.
Or, I guess, Ollie's humor. Ollie's really finding his... Ollie, this character, is great. They're really focusing on him, and they're making it come out, and we've got the book again, Jason Britter. And setting that up, which I like, because Jason Brody was in the last episode.
Was he?
Yeah, he was one of the guys in the... I'm pretty sure, wasn't he? One of the guys at the takeover? Was he? Maybe he's not.
Possibly. I don't remember. His name did sound familiar, so...
No, maybe he wasn't. I don't know, maybe the names just all sound familiar. Because I'm pretty sure Declan sounded familiar as well.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that was on death row. Maybe he's not.
I think Declan is just one of those names that you pull out for a... throwaway character in an episode that you're never going to see again.
Oh, man, and you see him welding these arrows?
So he's smelting, actually, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. I know it's not welding because there was no blowtorch or anything, but I said welding anyways. But smelting, and they were still on fire, and it was good.
And his muscles were all showing and stuff.
Good.
Yeah, so it's all there for the ladies.
And then you have the lawyer coming in. Laurel's going to...
And her friend, who I'm just going to call Exposition from now on, because
yes,
she's
her
just
friend,
like,
Exposition.
Yeah, her friend Exposition, who just, every time that she's on screen, it's so that she can tell us about how Laurel needs to get a life, and she needs to find some guy, and
again,
get laid.
They're
and
shoving
all, like,
her motivation down our throats. It's like, here, this character needs some motivation, let's just throw it at you in the form of Exposition.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the previous guy, right? Like, the scene with Brodeur and his bodyguard, which was pure, like... they better not find out about the toxic waste. It's like, oh, well, thanks for that. Well, now we know.
They need to turn, like in Spaceballs, they need to turn to the screen and like, did everybody get that? Okay, good. We're moving on. So Arrow has broken into Laurel's apartment. And Laurel's got a gun pointed at him. And he's finally got the voice changer.
We've been waiting for the first three episodes. Like, if that's what they're talking about by the fourth episode finding his groove, then I agree. Yes, he's gotten his voice changer. Yeah. I feel like the stakes have changed.
And he's actually hiding in the shadows right now.
Well, like, because of all the people that he's encountered, right? Laurel's the one that's gonna that would know who he is.
She's gonna put
it
together. And I get the sense that the way that she's playing it, that Katie Cassidy is playing Laurel in this scene. The reason why she trusts him, why she trusts the Arrow, is because deep down she knows that it's all her.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Like somewhere she recognizes it. There's something familiar.
Yeah.
So she feels like she can trust this guy. But that kind of gets twisted at the end, right?
Yeah, that's that whole sense thing. And then you have the third level of the shoving it down our throats, the stakes of this. You have the little girl that he obviously has left behind.
The picture of the little
girl. Right? I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, the wife died in the bedroom, and then 24 hours later, he finds her in the bedroom, or like 12 hours, or whatever the next day. Yeah. And takes the little girl outside, calls 911, and that amounts to him getting the death penalty. I don't know. I just, there was a lot of holes.
Well, I don't know, but they just didn't take the time to talk about it a lot. He makes the comment about how Broder is a powerful guy.
Oh, and can really
there's no point. He also said, he's saying, I think in this scene, other lawyers have walked in and said, we'll get you out, we'll get you out.
Yeah.
They always get railroaded, right? So. Yeah.
The next scene, I think this one is her investigating, finding out what's happening. But it's good. I was upset too. The actor choices. This actor seemed really similar to the who is it? The guy that the boss, the second episode manager. No, the manager in the same episode.
Oh, in
this
episode.
The one that she whistle blew to. Oh my gosh! That his wife, Miss Declan, who got killed by Jason Brodeur. We'll see later. The guy that gets handcuffed to the railroads. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's just not like a lot.
Now,
of
this was interesting, in part because of his, for some reason, orange reading glasses.
I know, right? It's great.
A little bit odd.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's a style choice. Mm-hmm. Go, Walter. He rocks it. So, but this subplot about Tempest, about this $2.6 million that was funneled, and it sort of it was a little bit, it's not necessarily innocuous. We knew something was going to come of it, but it sort of happens, and she's kind of got these wry looks on.
She does, and we know that there's something there. And did we miss the Vancouver reference? How awesome is that?
Yes, the Vancouver reference was
nice. Thanks, CW and the Arrowwriters for throwing that in there.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it when they do things like that. It's just so...
That's setting up some very interesting story.
It is. Well, of course. That is... Yeah. So this is the overall storyline, right? Like, that's the plot that's the through line of the season. And they did it really well in this episode. Yeah. And I'm really glad bringing Walter in, I think, really worked.
Yes.
In terms of, like, how it was dealt with. Yeah. I think that that is the one I'm most interested in. And that's why I'm kind of upset episode to episode. If we get sort of a... episode like this, which I feel is sort of more of a throwaway, but I really wanted to see more of...
Yeah.
More I really wanted to see more of the island and more of the overall plot line.
Yeah.
And this procedural stuff is really starting to grate on me
a little bit.
Because you can do character work without having to make it procedural. Because I'm really sorry, CW, you're not going to get the same episode as people that are watching Criminal Minds. Right? Like, I know it's airing the same in CTV, at least, like in Canada. It airs right after right before a procedural show. And I don't think that the audiences are the same for Arrow and shows like that. Yeah. And I mean,
it's not why we watch shows on the CW, right? That's you go to CBS for that
stuff,
right?
That's true.
So, yeah, like what we tune in for is definitely the characters. And I mean,
overall plot line.
I think that's going to be a lot of this first half of the season. It's going to be a lot of these sort of crime boss of
that's
the week.
True.
And we're gonna go through all that, but so we've got Oliver showing up at the diner, which I guess is gonna be a regular.
I guess it's a regular location now, hey.
And he's shown up to talk to Diggle, with his new bodyguard in tow.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's a nice contrast between the two.
Yes.
You get that, I guess the dorky youthfulness, I think, is what we're really seeing with that other guy. And it really makes Diggle, it brings out Diggle's character as the contrast, because if you have Ollie, who's sort of tries to be a little bit lighter, or is, I think, a little bit lighter than Diggle, it's a nice contrast between those two, so.
These guys have great chemistry, and I think that it really comes across in this scene, because I don't think it's really been charged between them.
No.
Until now, and now that there's some stakes there, they're... Mm-hmm. And Oliver's getting some stuff out, right?
Yeah,
like,
he really
he's
is,
been
yeah.
He's been sort of crusading by himself for these first three episodes, and it's like we said last week, so happy that he's now going to have somebody to talk mm-hmm. to about these yeah. things. You'll notice way, way, way less voiceover in this episode.
Oh, yeah!
I think maybe two or three times we had voiceover.
Maybe it wasn't exposition. Yeah!
It was like an introduction and an outro, yeah. and then I think maybe one other bit in between.
But it, yeah.
So that's what Diggle's going to do for him now, is he's going to be able to say these mm-hmm. things. They're going to be able to talk to one another about the stuff that they're doing. Also, him going to Laurel.
To Laurel as Arrow, right? That's where you can get the exposition out and really try
well.
To figure
yeah.
it out.
Yeah, so where last week we had him feeding us the information about yeah. about the bullet and yeah. about the sniper points and stuff like that and the building stuff. I think that was in the second episode.
Oh, God,
the building schematics
so
and stuff.
Yes, the building schematics.
Like that stuff. We'll now have some characters, because we'll also have Felicity, who we'll see in a second, who's yes. obviously going to be a recurring character now.
Yay.
I looked it up, Felicity Smoke, a character from the not from Green Arrow,
ooh.
But from DC in general. In
nice.
Fact, she's actually from Firestorm, which Whoa. Is a story about a kid and his chemistry professor who,
what?
Through a freak accident, get merged together into the character Firestorm.
What?
So,
that's awesome.
So maybe we'll see Firestorm.
Oh, and this is a great moment where like you got Diggle and the old bodyguard, and he goes yeah. to the bathroom, and Diggle just waits a couple beats, and he's like, "Yeah,
yeah,
he's gone. Yeah, that's great."
It's not even like he's still annoyed at Oliver.
He is, right? He's kind of like ugh, typical Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. I don't know. It's a great dynamic. And then this, you were talking, I remember you, during when yeah. we first watched this episode, you got Walter and the mom. Oh God, I don't even know what her name is. Walter and mom. I just care about her that
Moira
much.
Moira Queen.
Moira. Mrs. Queen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have this dynamic, and you're really like, oh man, is he going to die? He's going to die much sooner than we thought
oh,
he was.
Oh,
right?
This is what is going to kill him. Like,
yeah,
this is what's going to get
thing.
Him killed. I think I've
yeah.
already said on the show.
You know what? And
Walter's
I'm
not
going to
last
this season.
This is
my first challenge. This is my first official challenge
okay.
to you. I feel that he's going to win out of the two of them. I feel that, like, he has the more potential for people to care about him as a
yeah.
character, and the more potential to be not a throwaway character. This episode of all episodes, you know how we keep praising
yeah.
Detective Lance?
Yeah.
I feel like in this episode it was Walter, who was
yeah.
sort of the underdog character that really had an intentioned storyline,
yeah.
and him and Felicity Smoke have now, like, a thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I think this is my first challenge to you in terms of a character that you predict is going to die.
Okay.
I actually think he's not going to die.
You think he's going to last more than the season?
I think
by the season finale he'll be dead.
Really?
Yeah, and I think this was the first step down that path.
Interesting. Well, who are they going to set up as the bad guy, though? I think Moira is more expendable than he is.
Oh, I will tell you who they're setting up as the bad guy. He's
oh.
at the end of the episode.
Well, I know, he's so awesome! Okay.
And that's
yes.
just exciting.
Well, you know,
so, we'll talk
Fair.
About that
we'll
when
talk about
he
that
shows
when we
up.
Get to it. That's good. And then you have Miss Exposition being like, this isn't the kind of guy I wanted you to be with.
Yeah.
And the cliche rooftop scene! But at the same time, I'm kind of like, that's a legit Vancouver rooftop, and
yeah.
that kind of makes me happy.
And it shows how beautiful Vancouver is.
I know, right? And you can see all those copper towers in the back,
yeah.
like those green towers, where you're like, this
Hotel
is totally
Vancouver, yeah.
downtown, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. How expensive is it to shoot on a freaking rooftop? That's fantastic.
I think visually it looks great.
Oh, it does,
and they're getting
yeah.
so much more bang than I think Smallville got in its last few seasons.
Yeah.
I think Smallville they did the same sort of thing with Vancouver, but
not the same. They had that weird because I got to be like on like when they had the warehouses
to clubs,
be through
yeah.
the warehouses, and they had just like this lovely sort of scene of the background that was really just like a painting, and then it had little like those white Christmas lights like through it, and it was just really where you're like, no, my whole world is shattered. Whereas this, you're like, no, it's a legitimate rooftop.
Yeah. So
and he's talking.
So they're kind of going over how far Laurel's willing to go in all of this. She's gotten some information from her father.
Oh, and then Spider-Man's off the rooftop.
Yeah. He just really quickly takes off. They broke the axis on it, though, and that's a filmmaking thing, so it looked like he was shooting at her for a second.
Yeah.
It's a little bit confusing, but she's given him some information, so now he's going to go track down a lead, which is her kind of crossing a bit of a line, so it's interesting. Yeah. It's a step towards Black Canary.
Maybe. Ooh, Black Canary. Yeah, this of all episodes.
Yeah.
Good. And I am so excited that you looked her up, because this, I liked her exponentially more than I did previously, when you know she's a main character, not just a throwaway, so I forgive her sort of mannerisms a little bit more, because I feel like they're writing from the page, but like this weird, like, slit my throat kind of motion, and she's kind of a little bit awkward.
Yeah, she's gonna have to, the writers as well, I feel like this is a very Chloe-esque character, and Chloe always rode that line, and very often stepped over that line, in my opinion, with her. Every single thing she said had to be a pun or a one-liner.
But I'll give you this. Something. Maybe it has something to do with the actress. Because I feel like Allison Mack can pull that off a little bit better than this I don't know. Can she?
I think by the end of Smallville, it got a little bit much. Because Smallville got much more serious.
Yeah.
And she remained quippy and one-liney. And you can be humorous without puns.
No, I just mean, I don't know, it could be like a physicality thing, too. That's more where my brain is. Because when Chloe started, she was like high schooler journalist person. Whereas this is like, I'm wearing a pencil skirt with my glasses and my blonde hair pulled back and walking around and pretending to be awkward, but really quite lanky and well on my feet. Like, I don't know, it's just, so it's good. But I'm excited to see what they do with her, and I really think that it's awesome that they're bringing her in as this, with this Walter storyline. I like that, right? Yeah. I like that maybe she, of all people, like, IT information, right?
Yeah.
You really have this. And look, these train tracks that are, it's probably the Arbutus corridor, those train tracks that are never used. It's good. No, I like it that they're trying to use this sort of old-timey railroady.
So like, he's using some Batman detective skills right here by just threatening a dude and putting him in life-threatening danger in order to get the information that he needs, which is what Christian Bale does as Batman now.
Look at that CGI train go. You go, CGI train. Awesome. I want to know how they film that, like, with the... It's good. There's probably some super technique of, like, filming through a moving train that's not not a train. Oh, and then we have sort of this back in the cave and learning to kill your food to eat it. Like, he just tries to, like, full on just take the dude's barbecue, being like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just get this look. I like this character. I don't know. We haven't figured out who he is or like his
actually, you know what? I do actually have information on him. I'm not better at it. I just have friends who know things.
Oh, okay.
Friends
called the internet?
No, friends named Brian Milne who listens to the show.
Nice.
And he's always very helpful in listening to the episode and then like the next day being like, yeah, that guy's this guy.
Oh, nice.
I gotta go back in my messages here.
While you do that, I'm going to comment on the, let's turn off the lights and have an encounter between the Arrow and Laurel and dropping off paperwork. I kind of like it. It really shows his sort of badassness that she's like, well, short of, we really need to find out who this guy is because the whistleblower said she told on him and he said nothing. And he's like, fine, I'll go get it for you. And then he brings it to her, which is, I don't know.
So the Dark Archer is Yao Fei. That's his name.
Is that actually... So it's actually confirmed Dark Archer, right? Like, that's who...
I don't know. I don't know that he is actually, like, the Dark Archer.
But
his... The character's name is Yao Fei, and he's from... he's from Year One.
Oh, so, nice. Okay, so he's a legit person in this.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Look at them bringing in all these different characters from all these different, like, story origins and things.
Yeah.
Like, we've got Year One, and then we've got this... What is it? Firestorm, you said? I'm excited.
Well, Firestorm's a completely separate comic.
Which is so cool, but they're bringing it in.
No, yeah, like, it's nice
yay
that
they've got that.
Yay for
DC, like, being really awesome with its sort of whole world for Arrow. I really feel this show is starting off on such a powerful note. It's really fantastic to see that people are behind it.
Thea likes those colored skinny jeans, eh?
She does. It's good. I don't know. I think she looks cute. She's not... I don't know.
She looks very much like an advertisement for American Apparel or Garage or something, you know, like, just...
Well, the other... The exposition was wearing yellow pants.
That's true.
They're all wearing very... They wear colors. It's a contrasting thing, because if you notice, Ollie wears dark colors, and everyone around him is so much happier than he is. Oh, and then the bodyguard coming through the door. You really get Ollie. Keep up. You gotta keep up, man. Like, that's hilarious.
He reminds me of Jerry O'Connell's brother.
I
can never remember his brother's name.
Oh, but it's gonna hurt my brain now.
The new guy.
Oh, yeah, where he's like...
They're the two college
something
guys.
Fashioned, yeah. Or whatever that is.
He reminds, and I think that's why I'm getting like the dorky vibe, because they were really dorky in that.
Yeah.
So now, Detective Lance is bringing down the hammer on his daughter here. He's a little bit pissed that she took that information from him and gave it to the Arrow.
Now, this scene, and you're just talking about this, had made me realize something.
Yeah.
Because I think we were kind of angry at the end of the scene, at the end of the episode, the development with, we've got the, he is so quick on his feet and knows exactly how to do his job.
Yeah.
He is so good at his job that within 4 episodes... He's figured it out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would say, like, this episode is really... Oh, look at that photoshopped public library. Yeah. Or, like, what is it? The art gallery downtown? Where it's like, look at that.
The courthouse.
But within 4 episodes, right? Like, he's not dumb. He's like, hey, so here's this lead that I just followed up on. Like, clearly you're doing something that I really don't approve of. And it's vigilante and all sorts of... Vigilante. Right? So I really... In that case, I'm actually maybe impressed with them going for consistency of character.
Yes, that he's not an idiot.
Yeah. He's not an idiot, right? Like, that's the big thing. Whereas this guy, on the other hand, Jason Brodeur, he's being threatened by this civil lawyer who really doesn't have anything on him, and then in the next scene freaks out that he's going to get taken down by this lawyer.
He seems a little skittish. He's like,
a really powerful dude, I'd say he's not exerting a lot of power here, right? Like, in the terms of he's like, what can we do? I'm freaking out.
But let's, okay, on the same lines as your Detective Lance thing, let's say that Arrow is putting the fear of God in these ne'er-do-wells of Starling City, right?
Okay.
This last week with bringing in Deadshot and to sort of deal with stuff, like, because I felt like that was a little bit. He was brought in because there's this vigilante running around, and the city's getting a little bit more difficult to just get rid of people.
Fair enough.
So I think that we're seeing escalation and we're seeing the stakes going up. And by the end of this episode, when we see. The new bad guy.
Yeah.
It's very much in response to Arrow.
So the idea that these
people are all connected, and that when they start dropping like flies,
a lawyer
is breathing down your neck and trying to
expose you for things.
Yeah, like that you'd be worried.
Sure, I'll give that one to you. Although I still, I don't know. In terms of like the solid nature of everything. Oh, and we missed the Walter scene where he's really finding out about the Tempest, or Tempest is what it is, and the $2.6 million, where it's going. I really love Tempest. Like, I think that's like a great homage to Shakespeare. I know it's not like, it's not really, but I mean, I like it. I think it's great. And this scene with Diggle and his sister-in-law, I guess.
Yes, sister-in-law.
Weird?
Yeah.
Where they threw in, without you really talking, they're throwing in extra stakes as well here with the nephew line.
Yep.
So she has a kid, right? And so they're really just putting in all these extra things that in down the line could be pretty handy if a certain nephew gets kidnapped or threatened in some way, and then Diggle's...
Also, but, really good, like, really good backstory for Daigle without it being like sort of hitting us over the head with
it.
It was very natural that he's talking and he's just saying, you know, when I was in the army, when I was in Kandahar, doing all this stuff, and we start to hear a little bit of the things that make him a little bit heroic.
It's true, and it's good, and you really, I think of everybody, they're not forcing us with Diggle stakes, which are maybe making me really, really appreciate him a little bit more, right? Where you just, like, it's easier for me to understand Diggle's character.
Yeah.
And this, I love this line. He's like, "Do you want me to sign a signed confession?" Which is technically why Ollie, and then he shoots him in the hand, being like, "Well, it's gonna be a little hard for you to sign."
Yeah.
They're finding the humor. Yeah. I like that they're finding, because it's dark humor, right? Like, he just shot a dude in the hand.
Yeah.
And made a joke about it, right? Which is great.
He's a little messed up. Like we've been saying from the beginning, he came back a very messed up individual.
Yeah.
And this episode is really one of the first ones where I think Oliver is forced to start acknowledging that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, that's the whole point of the episode, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're getting this, which, again, so Jason Broder, really powerful dude, instead of dealing with Laurel, he decides to start a prison riot. That's the thing.
In order to kill this guy. Yeah.
And, like, reliability, I don't know. I just feel like this seems like an intense way to deal with somebody. Like, starting a prison, anyways. I mean, it's fine. It's good. You know, this maximum security prison, obviously. Well, maybe it's probably not maximum security. Mind you, there's death row, though, right?
It is. This is a high security. I guess it's getting at
the idea of Starling City being corrupt and the idea that, like, the infrastructure, if you can't even hold on to that.
Yeah.
And poor Laurel.
I do like that the prison guards leave Laurel in a room with an open door with a convicted murderer who's on death row. Like, we know he's innocent, but they don't.
Yeah, that's true. And it's really, I don't know,
And they run and leave. Why would you get out of there? Why wouldn't you just close the door and lock yourself in?
Lock
the door and hope they don't have blasters.
Of all things, I'm really... I don't know. And then you have Ollie in his ski mask and...
He steals... This did not make any sense. He steals...
A prison guard uniform. And then puts on a ski mask. I'm really confused.
And then puts on a ski mask and uses his bow and arrow. Except it was all... I think it was all there just to set up the fact that... He changed his outfit.
Which is something they hadn't thought of before. Yeah. Here's Laurel getting her ass kicked. I'm sorry, can I say that on this podcast?
Yeah, that's fine.
But she's really, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sort of, and
he does not like that.
No.
Yeah, he kind
of... But it's one of those things where, I guess to her, he doesn't understand, like, she doesn't get his, like, she looks at, the way that she looks at him is really just, like, he didn't kill him or anything, but she really gets the sense that he's...
He lost control in that moment. I think.
And that's what we're supposed to be saying. I'll give it to them, the cop thing. Like, it works for this scene, right? Like, if he was dressed as the Arrow and all the cops came into that room, they would have taken him right away, right?
Yeah, so fair enough, fine.
I get the changing thing. And you really get Laurel. But, like, he didn't kill the guy and he saved her life.
He did kill another guy, though, because he came in and shot all the other dudes.
Yeah, okay.
So he did kill people in front of her, and then he was beating the life out of a guy. And if she hadn't gotten up to stop him, he would have just kept going because he was out of control.
You know what? That would be another good motivation for Black Canary. Hey, right? Yes. Like, if she understands who he is, but really thinks he needs help in his humanity,
somebody like that to keep him grounded, but to still believe. Well, even if she comes about as sort of almost a rival to begin with, I think that could be a really interesting
dynamic that
she shows up in an effort to do what needs to be done without going to the lengths that Green Arrow is going to at this point. That's a nice
dichotomy in terms of, like, showing him what he could be and him not doing that, he doesn't need to go out.
But I think that's what we're going to get from Diggle here. Like, we'd see it at the end of the episode, so we'll talk about it a little bit more then.
Yeah.
Right now we're seeing a flashback to the island where he's gonna take that step. This is what Yao Fei has been moving him towards. This is the lesson he's being learned, right? This is a Jedi Padawan relationship going on. And so he's put him in this scenario where in order to live, he has to kill this bird.
He Miyagi'd him, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. he's like, you're gonna learn how to make some food. And therefore, right? And he's like, this moment, I think Stephen Amell got so many close-ups today. And I know, he's the lead of the show, so I get that he gets close-ups. But I feel there was more in this episode than there had been previously.
It was very focused.
He's really finding this character. And that moment where you just see him listening to Laurel and her dad have this conversation, and he's remembering the island, and he really is remembering the loss of his innocence. And then you have her dad, smart as a cracker. I don't even know.
That's quick, not a... Smart as a whip.
Smart as a whip. Quick as a cracker. No.
Nope, none of those are saying. None of those are phrases.
I don't know. I feel like there was some weird phrases in this episode. I'm just paying homage to the weird.
Okay.
But right, he gets it. He's like,
yeah,
and
he figures it out.
I was like,
oh,
what did he figure out? Because you don't know what he figured out until later in the episode. Because right now, then we're going to this Tempest project or this giant warehouse that cost $2.6 million. Or I'm just really curious what it is exactly. Like this whole, we're excited to figure out what it is,
where this money was funneled to.
And these, you know,
I had an inkling that it was going to have to do with the accident. With
well,
the
you
boat
know
accident.
When it's called Tempest that it's about the accident, but like the boat, really?
But
like
yeah,
that's the thing
the
that
whole,
I'm kind of like, what?
Scene.
Seriously? Oh, and I like this Cracker Jack password. That's the thing. That's
Robert, yeah.
That's anyway,
Cracker Jack.
Yeah. See, Cracker Jack. The password though, it's like let's try these three names randomly that are related to your family. Yeah. Like use a number.
See, this is right here. Now he has way too much information.
He does. What's he gonna do with it though? Right? Like that's the
thing.
He's
gonna start uncovering stuff.
Yeah.
And he's gonna figure it out. He's gonna put it all together and he's going to die before he can give it to Oliver.
Yeah. Oh no, he's not. Oh
yeah.
That's so sad. Really?
It's gonna happen. I'm sorry, because I agree with you. I think that he's an excellent character. The actor is great. Colin Salmon.
Too much information.
Yeah, just wait. So
I guess this is the episode with the too much information.
Yes.
Right? We've got now Detective Lance, TMI, got Walter with TMI.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out how are they gonna okay, I'll give it to you. One of these two storylines needs to fall apart without any harm happening, and one of them will fall apart with harm happening.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah,
I don't know.
So we just sort of talked over the scene where Detective Lance puts two and two together. He gets the security tapes from the evening before, or a couple evenings before, at the shooting episode, and he finds a stairwell, and they're going through the video, and they see Oliver going up the stairwell, pulling his equipment out of the garbage can.
Yeah.
And it's unclear exactly what he's doing. It's not necessarily steel-clad evidence, but it's going to be enough to cause some problems for Oliver in the next few episodes.
This show is moving so fast.
It is. It's moving really quick.
And all these other characters from Superfluous DC universes are now converging, and it's all imploding. You know what? I'm going to throw it out there. We're going to see Green Lantern within, like, the third season. I just feel like they're just throwing so much at this show.
Yeah.
Because they're like, here, you like comics? Have some more. Oh, that's not good enough for you? Here's some more.
Well, so 2015, they've got Justice League slated as a movie.
Ooh.
And I don't know, maybe we'll see Stephen Amell in that.
Dude, yeah, they can use their TV
I highly
franchises.
Doubt it. They'll
oh,
so they'll avoid Green Arrow at all costs because they have a TV show.
I know, right? That's the one. That's the plus and the minus of having TV shows, right? Because then you have them as these precious commodities that no one touches.
Yeah.
And then, then
they don't want to confuse people, right?
Yeah.
So Yao Fei reveals that he speaks English, and he also reveals the lesson, what he's been saying to Oliver this whole time, is survive, and then he tells him that he's got to forget about Laurel in order to survive.
I feel like that was a shot of Burnaby. That definitely wasn't Vancouver, wherever they're in now. I feel when they go to sort of the
I think this is
and funny. John Barrowman.
Yes,
I
John
love
Barrowman.
You.
Of Doctor Who and Torchwood fame,
yeah.
Captain Jack Harkness himself, and he is just in this scene alone. I mean, not a lot's going on here. Not a lot happens. It's not a lot of screen time, but he's just oozing evil. So I think you don't bring John Barrowman in as a throwaway character.
You
for
don't.
Sure,
he's
we
not.
Know that he's going to be bad.
But
I think that he's the big bad. I think he's the one.
But in his exchange, there's a power dynamic. Moira's obviously giving him more of the power in it.
Yeah.
But I just... Captain Jack Harkness is not, like, a sinister person. And I find it hard. John Barrowman has this great lightness of character
sure,
to him.
But he's also a fantastic actor.
He is.
I think he's
okay,
one of the best
fine.
Actors
can...
that's ever been on Doctor Who.
Ooh, yes, well, I would
and
do that, so.
Because the ability for him to go from a character like Captain Jack to this,
is,
right?
Yeah,
like, to being this sort of... This dark, evil... Like I said, he kind of oozes...
He kind of has something...
Sinister, right? There's something going
and
on.
And they
there.
Gave us the list, right? It's
yeah.
not about rich people. There's
yeah.
a clear... We need to know what the list is. What
yeah.
is happening with the
for
list?
A reason,
I'm excited
so.
By it now.
Yeah.
So it's not just, like, the general evil
they're
in
all,
Starling
they're,
City.
They're all part of the cult of the squiggly line.
I know.
Yeah,
is,
our board of shadowy figures.
Shadowy figures, it's good.
So John Barrowman,
and,
that's all great.
And
but,
we're assuming he's the guy that was in the car that last time, right? Like,
yes,
that's sort of
I
what we're,
so.
We're just
I think so.
Setting up. He
yeah.
doesn't have an office. He has a car.
It's yeah, he just works out of his limo.
Yeah.
His town car. So, Diggle...
Signing on.
Yeah, he says, let's just be clear of one thing. I'm not your sidekick.
Yes.
Which I thought
like
was
it,
nice.
Which is good.
And no sooner are they allied than Detective Lance busts down the door and arrests Oliver.
This is pretty convenient.
For being
he now has a superhero sidekick, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, for being... there's Walter. He's already
he's
on the phone to the lawyer.
Right? Yeah.
But
yeah,
they're arresting him for being a vigilante, for obstructing justice, for
and
all Diggle's, these different things.
Diggle's face was great in that when they said
yeah.
vigilante, because that's when, because he didn't know genuinely what was happening. He's like, oh, maybe, like, what's going
yeah.
on? Like,
yeah.
he's bringing in, and then you have Lance.
maybe he crashed a Lamborghini.
Yeah,
who
like, who knows? But then when he says vigilante, you've got Diggle going, like, what? So it's good.
Yeah,
I
he's
going like,
he's gonna have his work cut out for him. I think
and
he's...
The first...
He immediately... I almost choked on my drink now.
Yeah.
This episode's
so much
too much. he immediately regrets that decision.
Yeah,
I think.
He's like, aww.
He shakes his hand, and no sooner does that happen than it's like, oh, it's a good thing that you're here, because now I'm going to need you to set up all this stuff so that I don't go to jail
yeah,
for
yeah.
murder.
Yeah.
Because that's that was the stinger for the end of the episode, the cliffhanger
yeah.
was... You know, for obstruction of justice, for vigilanteism, and then at the last bit, and murder.
Yeah.
Because he's killed people.
Yeah.
Like, let's be really clear.
Which, kudos to Arrow, again, fourth episode in,
yeah.
and they're acknowledging this dynamic in the character,
yeah.
which, in any sort of regular, like, it's like, where do you sort of go with the stakes? This is the one thing I'm getting starting to get worried about.
From here? Yeah.
You cannot, it's the reason I stopped watching Supernatural after the sixth season. If everybody
yeah.
dies multiple times,
yeah.
there are no stakes anymore if death doesn't actually mean anything. So it's this idea that, like, if you put the stakes at 100%,
yeah.
and then it's like, but they'll find a way to get out of it, so it's not a big deal anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do that with the four Superman movies, because you can turn
I
back
think,
the time once, and that's the end of a movie, right? But, like, you can't...
I think what happens... Actually, Superman, I gotta correct that, because
Sorry.
I read something
Sorry.
Somewhere, and he doesn't turn back time. He travels back in time, and we're seeing it from his perspective. So
Sorry.
As he's going
okay.
backwards, he's just flying fast enough to go back in time himself, and we're just seeing it from his perspective, which makes the Earth look like it's spinning in the other direction.
All right.
So
thank you for that clarification, actually,
yes.
though. Which is,
when I read that, I was like, okay, cool. That fixes the whole
thing.
He
turned back time. He turned back to his own time. I'm
yes.
sorry for just not putting Owen in front of that. He
yeah.
does, he's still...
Yeah. In any
time
case,
travel. It's good.
In any case, I think what we're doing here is we're getting this stuff all out of the way right now,
mm-hmm.
because once he's been... arrested
mm-hmm.
and thrown in jail and Detective Lance thinks I've got him dead to rights, and then they somehow get him out of it with an alibi that says Oliver Queen is undoubtedly not Green Arrow.
Right.
I think once they do that, then Detective Lance isn't allowed to bark up that tree anymore,
okay,
right?
Yeah, fair
both
enough.
From a story point and from an in-world point.
Fair enough.
His police chief or whoever would be like, look, you've already chased that down. It came up as a dead end.
Yeah.
Leave Queen out of it. figure out who the vigilante is. Well, right?
That's so. Going to be the harsh thing then. If they do brilliant stuff with this character, there's the potential then for it to go awry and him to keep tracking him down, lose his job over it, like all of this sort of harboring this resentment. Oh my god, wouldn't it be brilliant if he turned into the bad guy?
If Detective Lance ends
up
as the bad
guy? Dude, because if he knows that he's the Green Arrow,
I think he's
but
got,
as a police officer can do nothing about it, and stakes his job on it, and his reputation
and
on it,
his job.
And loses his daughter because she thinks that he's being unreasonable.
Yeah. Woo. I think he's got too much of the core of that character.
He
is too
does.
Good. He's
but
too
that's
good.
What makes it tragic. Fine, they've already set up like 7 other characters to be bad guys, so I'm not staking on it. Yeah. I'm just saying, write some fan fiction, people. I would read that. So
cool. So, so much happened in this episode.
It's insane.
But maybe it wasn't given enough room to breathe because we had all this stuff with Jason Broder, and it just, I don't know, it felt. The pacing was off. I think what we that great pacing that we had last week, they lost it this week.
Yeah.
But I think we got a lot more of what we wanted. So
that's
it's
true.
Kind of it's six
it's
and one half dozen of the
say
other.
It's a bittersweet
right?
episode.
So, yeah. So I mean, Stephen Amell really finding his place with the character, really getting into Oliver's head, I think, and with us revealing, having more of it revealed to us, understanding him a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing of all is now we know exactly who Diggle is. We know more about his backstory. We know what his purpose is going to be in the show.
Yeah.
He's stated it, kind of like a mission statement of saying, "I'm doing this." Because that person that you are when you're the vigilante is not who you are. And the vigilante is going too far, and you need somebody to keep you in check.
Yeah.
To keep him from falling into that point. I mean, we had Deadshot last week, and a perfect, perfect analogy for where Green Arrow is heading, right?
Right.
If he stays on this path, Deadshot said last week, professional courtesy is stay out of your way sort of thing, right? And he goes, we're not the same. Well, from a certain point of view, they absolutely are, right?
Yeah.
If for all intents and purposes, in the eyes of the law, as we've seen at the end of this episode, they are the same. They're both vigilantes.
Yeah.
Well, not vigilantes, but they're both assassins. Like, they're both murderers.
Mm-hmm.
One might be doing it for money while the other one's doing it for altruistic reasons, but doesn't change at the end of the day that they're both breaking the law. So with Green Arrow heading down that path, it's nice to now have out in the open a character saying, I'm here to stop you from being that person. So I'm really interested to see, moving forward, are we going to see less brutality from Green Arrow? Is he going to start to pull back on killing his enemies and taking down henchmen and stuff like that? And especially with Laurel and the way that she reacted and his reaction to her.
Right.
Because that flashback, that last one we were talking about, when he's sitting up on the rooftop watching them, and that long shot on his face where you can just see the pain, right?
Yeah.
Where he realizes, I've gone too far.
Because he smiled. That was the thing that his sister points out. Is she's like, oh, you're smiling, you're happy. And he's like, I found a way to connect, and I really, who I am. And then at the end,
and then he loses it. He
gets, because she does know who he is, and she still doesn't like him. Right? Like, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
That she still, when he gets to be himself, it's just still. So I think this episode could perhaps be about him finding his Green Arrow sweet spot, right?
Yeah.
It's this spot where he's still. The stuff from the island has informed who he is, but it's not all he is, and he has a chance to grow in that. And really, it's by those characters around them, right? That's the best thing about any hero, right? Really, it's not about just themselves. It's about the support person, people, right? Like, like Harry Potter. It's not about him, right? It wouldn't be the same without the people around him.
Yep.
And you've got all, like, everything. Superman, even, right? Like, Superman is synonymous with Lois Lane and the people that he loves, his parents, like, yeah. death,
no,
right?
Like, yeah, it's all like, got to
it's all about
the hero.
Who he
yeah.
is. And I think that the relationships are what really make these heroes
yeah.
heroes,
yeah.
and I think we are going to get the chance to explore that.
Well, I think what we've got right now, they keep using the word vigilante, and that's what he is right now. He's mm-hmm. He's not a hero yet. He's no. definitely not a superhero yet.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're going to get with this show, this is this episode really kind of nails the direction that it has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him finding out how to be
mm-hmm.
the Green Arrow. So the fact that nobody's calling him Green Arrow, nobody's even calling him Arrow yet.
Yeah, they call him a guardian angel.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like
she refers to him as the guardian angel, which I think was their way of showing that she's kind of got these rose-colored glasses when
right,
she
yeah.
when it comes to, because she's
yeah.
seeing, she's just seeing what she wanted to see
right,
there.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
there's that harsh reality of seeing
yeah.
what it actually takes to be that person.
Yeah,
and sort of pulling away from that. So we had her way on one side going, no, he's a good person, I can
yeah.
tell, and then seeing it going, he's not, I was wrong, there's
yeah.
no humanity in there.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you're right, that this episode was about him not necessarily finding that sweet spot.
No, but moving toward, like,
but knowing that
yeah.
he has to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think those are your stakes right there,
mm-hmm.
is him figuring out how he can fulfill this mission that his father has tasked him with without losing himself. Because I think what we're going to see when we see stuff on the island is that Yao Fei maybe has lost himself a little bit.
Mm.
If he is, in fact, the Dark Archer,
mm.
if that is where that character goes,
right.
and we're going to see him later on,
yeah.
then that would be... That's what I would assume...
Right.
is going on with that character is that he's going to teach Oliver all of these different things, all of these different skills, but not necessarily the other side of it, the
yeah.
balance to it, which is
oh,
which is
that's
being
great.
A hero. So I don't know. And we said, I think in the second episode, we don't know exactly where we're supposed to be with how deep we're supposed to be reading into stuff.
Yeah.
I think that third episode told us, read deep. This
yeah.
this fourth episode definitely told us there's a lot more going on here
oh,
under
yeah.
the surface
mm-hmm.
than what you're privy to right now. So I think that we're in a safe place to start saying, like, this is where the show should go. This
yeah.
is what we think
mm-hmm.
about it. And what I think we can expect from it. So on some of them, I think we can expect some very surface storylines where Walter is going to uncover all of the evil things that Moira has been doing. And right before he can hand it over to Oliver, he's going to die. And I'll bet you anything, Deathstroke.
Oh.
Is going to be the one to kill him.
But then...
Mid-season finale. The end of those first 12 episodes that they shot.
That could be... You know what? That would be really good. But I'm going to... Here, I'll throw it out there. Then maybe his relationship with Felicity will somehow be a savior. Maybe he'll have some sort of computer files. And maybe she'll be...
Oh, yeah. She'll,
stuff,
she'll,
right?
be,
like,
the
she'll
one,
be the
she'll
one...
She'll be the one who ends up with
actually
that.
Have the information
yeah.
in the end.
Yeah.
And she will be cunning enough to know that she's not powerful enough
yeah.
to do anything about it.
And she'll
right?
just hold on
this
to
idea
it.
Of
yeah.
just really... Right? Because Walter doesn't think... I don't think Walter, his first thought would be like, let's hand this over to the Green Arrow.
No.
Or like Oliver, right? Whereas someone like Felicity, because she's gotten a hint of who Ollie is from
yeah.
last episode, there might be more potential for that then to happen.
But as he uncovers information, he might stumble upon this list.
Oh.
He's going to stumble upon the cult of the squiggly line. And
can they name it already so we
yeah,
can stop
so
this
we can
squiggly
stop
line?
Saying
it. Yeah.
And he's going to start to put it together, I think. And when he starts to put it together, I think he's going to realize that's what Arrow is after, right? That's just like John Barrowman's
you
character
know what?
Has followed that through line.
That's the sad part. That's going to be the foil, right? That Arrow's actually after
yeah.
something, but he doesn't actually know what it is. I think Ollie doesn't actually know what he's after
no,
yet.
No, he doesn't
that's
understand
the thing. He doesn't
understand
it
at all.
The list.
I think that we're going to get an episode at some point where he goes after somebody... who is not going to be a bad person, who's just on that list,
oh.
not understanding why people are
on
that
list.
So I think we're when we start to uncover what the list is
yeah.
and what's going on there, I think that's going to be that'll be the storyline that sort of
that'll be really interesting
reveals it to Oliver at least. Yeah. We might know before then because we're fortunate enough to see all of this other stuff going
that's
on.
Good.
But,
well, and I will say then we'll give it to him. Also, they could be playing the counter card where really that Ollie legitimately knows, right? Again, that's that line, and we have to figure out what he's doing with it and the list because he knows that it was his father's list. And as we were pointed out to us last week, the list was blank when he got that book. It was blank, and Ollie put those names in there himself, or their lists came from somewhere, right? Yeah. So it's really all connected, and I honestly think that. The island will have a lot more to play about what comes forward with this list, right? And really revealing what happened to Ollie on that island, and perhaps he's not as dumb as or as oblivious to stuff as we think, maybe.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Oh, I hate conjecture. Just get a new episode. It'll be good.
So, before we end, I just want to do something a little bit different this time. So we're just going to talk a little bit about next week's episode.
Awesome.
It's titled Damaged. We've actually got Deathstroke is listed in the cast here, Jeffrey C. Robinson. So we're gonna see him showing up. Maybe not necessarily as Deathstroke yet. Maybe not necessarily in Starling City. Maybe on the island.
Right. So we don't know, but he will be somewhere.
But yeah, and according to IMDb, no John Barrowman in this next episode, but he's not listed in this.
He's not listed. I don't think he was listed in this episode. But he was on the credits
at the beginning.
So, yeah,
but
maybe he'll be more stealth character.
Yeah,
I feel like he was in Vancouver for a while. He was like kicking around.
I think so. I think we're going to see a lot of him, and I think we're going to see more of him as it progresses.
That's what we said. Well, that's exciting for next season or next episode. Gosh, my brain is. But, what else did you just point out to me when you were reading that episode? Or Damaged, right. Titles of these episodes, again, we're saying pay attention to the titles of these episodes. Yeah. They're really, obviously, first of all, I'm kind of like, yes, after this episode called An Innocent Man, he now realizes that he's damaged. And, right, so you really get this Ollie's context. I feel like they're building the hero's journey, but they're doing it in the titles of these episodes. Really, like they're really going through and sort of examining his character in these great one-liners. I want to like shout out to the writing. I think that they're really finding their groove and putting the levels in there. And I'm excited for next week, so that should be exciting to listen to.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So you guys can tell us what you thought of this episode by emailing us mail@quiverpodcast.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast.
Well, send us a tweet @quiverpodcast.
Yeah, and our website, quiverpodcast.com. So let us know what you guys thought. As always, we'll read somebody's email or Facebook message on the air, and I have a little bit of a dialogue, a little bit of a conversation, and get on the Facebook page and talk to each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Because you guys are leaving a lot of comments and that sort of thing, and that's all awesome. But talk to each other, because you guys come up with just as good theories and ideas as we do. So,
and it's awesome ideas for what to do in our hiatus pointing out things that we didn't know about before. And I bet you that a lot of other people listening to the podcast don't know these things either. It's not just us that are dumb. There's lots of dumb people out there. It's good. We all need more information from everybody. So we'll give you our knowledge and you drop some knowledge on other people. So that'd be good.
Absolutely. Cool. Great.
Fun.
Well, that about does it for us this week.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Those fireworks. Oh man, it was on Halloween this episode aired. Yeah. What kind of nerdos stayed home on Halloween? Oh, dressed up like Green Arrow for Halloween.